Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're so grateful, Father, that Jesus is our brother, that you're our Lord and our God, and that we have the Holy Spirit here to guide and direct us on this earth. We are so grateful, Father. Now, Father, as the word goes out, I ask you to reveal the mighty word of the living God to all of us as the word goes out today. And may we speak the word in truth and love so that everybody will begin to understand why we have not when we ask in prayer. Because, Lord, I believe with all my heart that we ask with doubt, with unbelief in our heart. And this is why so few of us get our prayers answered. So, Father, reveal to each one of us, Father, all of your children, the truth of how to get their prayers answered as I quote your words to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, I'm still talking about why so many people have unanswered prayer. And, of course, we've been talking about that all week. Today is the end of the week. But the greatest hindrance to your receiving your prayer, number one, is because people don't pray. And number two is that when they do pray, they don't pray in faith. People pray with doubt. You can just have almost anybody ask you the question, or you can ask them the question when you get through praying. You say, now do you believe you have received the answer to your prayer? And almost inevitably, people will say, well, I don't know. I sure hope so. I don't know if God was listening, and I hope he answers prayer. With no more knowledge of the Word of God than that, I guarantee you that prayer will not be answered. Or if you kneel to pray or stand to pray with a bunch of folks and they say, oh, Lord, we're just such unworthy sinners, forget it. You might as well go to the house. God's not going to hear those prayers. You're not an old unworthy sinner. Once he brought you into the kingdom of God and cleaned you up and made you the righteousness of God in Christ, he made you an holy instrument. He made you a partaker of the divine nature. All these things are yours. You're now a king's kid. You're not an unworthy sinner. You're a prince or a princess of the king of the universe. And begin to see yourself like God sees you, whatever you do. But many examples in the Word of God where the Lord himself is explaining to us why we can't get anything from him. Now, there's another great example here in Mark 11. In Mark 11:22, the Lord says, have faith in God, or if you have the God kind of faith. In verse 23, he says, for truly or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that has got to be one of the most awesome, powerful promises you can imagine. Now most people live in the flesh, so they're carnal, and that's why they cannot comprehend these kind of mighty promises. But our king literally meant everything he said right there. Now then, in verse 24 he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But then in verse 25, he tells us why it will not work for lots of us. Because in verse 25, he said, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. In verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm going to tell you that if God don't forgive your trespasses, you will not be able to get any kind of an answer to any kind of a prayer. It's absolutely a must that you walk in love. So that's what he's trying to tell us. You must walk in love, and if you do, then your faith will work. So, If you keep speaking. Now, when you say something, he says you must say with no doubt whatsoever in your heart. So when you pray, you must find scriptures in the Word of God that'll guarantee you can have from the Lord what you're asking for. And then when you ask him, then you thank him. You praise him and worship him and thank him for your answer. because it cannot fail if you don't doubt. And, of course, I've come to realize that nearly everybody I pray with, they don't see how you can be so bold. But if God can take a promise like that and tell me whatever I desire when I pray, believe I've received it, why can't I just ask Him for whatever I want that, of course, is in accordance with His will? He's not going to allow you to ask for something crazy like winning the lottery or something like that, because you shouldn't be playing a lottery game if you're a born-again Christian. No born-again Christian should ever buy a lottery ticket. That's wasting your money. You should go take it out and give it to the poor and the needy. And if you take it out and give it to the poor and the needy, then you'll be investing it in God's kingdom, and He will return it to you bountifully. So you'll always get a return on your investment if you do it God's way. Now then, in John 10:24, these Jews had been asking Jesus some questions, and Jesus said to them, "How long?" Or these men said unto Jesus, after they came to Him, said, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Well, in verse 25, Jesus said, "I told you, and you believe not." Now, that's what happens all throughout the Word of God. He has made us all these promises. He's told us over and over and over what we can do. And I've come to realize we do not believe our God. Now, if you believe Him with no doubt in your heart, when you ask things that are in accordance to His will, and of course there's many things that is in accordance with His will, you know that the Father always hears you in the name of Jesus, and you know you have the petition you asked for. So, you must not doubt. In Mark 4, down about verse 34, 35, these men were out on a stormy sea one night, and they thought they were going to drown. And they woke up the Master and asked Him, "Lord, do you not care that we drowned out here in this storm?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and all of a sudden there was a great calm. And then He turned to them and said in verse 40, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Those men didn't know how to take that, but Jesus was trying to tell them, "Where is your faith? Why didn't you speak to the storm? I have told you how to do this over and over and over. Say something to your problem." He has told them they can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will obey them. He has told them they can speak to the fig tree, and the tree will die. He's told them here in Mark 4 they can speak to the weather, the storm, the winds, and the waves. And if they believe with no doubt in their heart, the winds and the waves will obey them. Now I realize there's a lot of people that don't believe that you can do these things. But in Matthew 8:26, He said to them again in that scripture, "Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith?" Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There, one more time, the Lord is trying to tell these men, "O you of little faith, start saying something to your problem. Command your problem in the name of Jesus to go away." I'm going to tell you that when you start commanding sickness and disease to go away in the name of Jesus, it will go away. You don't have to put up with the enemy. That's the devil. Everything that's killing, stealing, and destroying comes from the devil. Everything that's abundant life comes from the Lord, because He clearly tells us in James 1:17 that all good and perfect gifts comes from the Father, of which there is no variation and no turning. But John 10:10, He says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So, I've come to realize that we absolutely have such tiny faith. Because in Matthew 16, verse 8, Jesus perceived what they were thinking, and He said, "O you of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? If then God so clothed the grass, which is of the which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? That's our problem. We have such little faith, and the reason for it is because we have such a little knowledge of the Word of God. Because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's Word. Now, when we step over into this realm of John, the book of John, there's some magnificent promises here. Now, John 14, starting with verse 11, I want to read a few verses here. In John 14:11, Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." In verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, is that an awesome promise, or is that an awesome promise? In John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." Now, you notice this as a requirement. The Word of God must be in you, because if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, I have just taken these verses that I've just read here, and I've taken those verses, and I have seen two little girls that were on their deathbed that the doctor said couldn't live, broken pelvics, crushed heads, brain stem severed, faces tore up, legs broken, and everything else. And I took those great and mighty promises, and I stood on them with no doubt in my heart, and without surgery, these little girls are up and running and playing today, worshiping and praising the Lord. Now, if you'd like a complete copy of either a tape, audio tape that tells this story, or a videotape with the pictures of these little girls, or if you want a copy of our newsletter that has this story in great detail, just call me or write me, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of this entire story of how I brought these two little girls back from the dead in the name of Jesus. You can write us at the Living Savior Ministries at Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or you can give me a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. That stands for The Living Savior Ministry.org. Or you could come to our church. We have church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. and go to 4 p.m. And we have all kinds of testimonies, and the Lord does great and mighty things. So whatever you do this week, praise the Lord Jesus Christ.